Blog Talk Radio.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
never would have made it if it wasn't for you, Lord. If the Lord have not been on my side, where would we be today? If the Lord had not been on your side, where would you be today? Thank you, Jesus. Because of you, we made it. We made it throughout the week to see this day, this wonderful and fabulous Sunday. And Lord, we just thank you. We bless you and we magnify you. This is an inspirational hour of faith. I am your host, Michael Hill, and my co-host is Willie, and we are so thankful and grateful for being on the air once again on this wonderful Sunday. We thank you all for your all support. Thank you for your prayers, your time. We are truly grateful and thankful that you all took the time out of your schedule to tune in to the Inspirational Hour of Faith show, and we really, really appreciate you. We really do. So we thank you, and thank everyone for listening and tuning in, and we just thank God for another glorious day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. No matter how your week, last week was for you, no matter what you went through, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what kind of storm you're facing, no matter what kind of trial and tribulation that's at home front that you're going through today, God is still God, and he's God all by himself, and As long as we continue to trust in him, and he's going to work it out for our good. God is not going to put too much on you that you cannot bear. He know what you can bear and what you can't bear. And what you can't bear, just cast it upon him, because that's what his word said. Cast all your cares, no matter what it is. They cast it all unto the Lord. So we thank you once again for this day. And, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. And, Father God, we bless this show tonight. We magnify you, we exalt you, and we decrease while you increase. Father God, we speak life into every dead situation. Father God, we ask you to forgive us for any sins that we may have said, done, even thought of this day or any day in the past. Lord, we ask you to cleanse us right now from all sins of knowingly and unknowingly, sins of omission and commission. Father God, we ask you to search our hearts and our minds tonight, Father God. Clear our minds and our hearts out tonight to receive what thus says the Lord, Father God. We thank you for your word is going to come forth with power and might. We thank you for salvation tonight. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing tonight, Father God. We thank you for your spirit. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence, that you will show up and show out in a mighty way. Father God, we ask you, Father God, to do a new thing tonight, Father God. We come with an expectation, Father God, that lives will be changed forevermore, Father God, that men and women would not be the same. The way they was yesterday, they will be different after today. So, Father, we thank you for a change. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, even behind the scenes, even the things that we don't understand with a natural eye, that we will continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Father God, we thank you right now, Father God. We thank you for your warm, protecting angels who you have assigned to each and every one of us, who have been camping over our houses and our homes and our family and our children, our marriages and our spouses, Father God, our loved ones. Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing. And, Father God, we ask you to keep us safe, Father God, and continue to minister unto our hearts and our soul tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. Good evening, Brother Willie. How you doing today?
Hey, brother. I'm blessed, but it's cold, Mike. It is cold. We getting some of y'all weather down here, boy. It's cold, Brother Mike.
Man, it ain't cold down there, man. It ain't that cold. When y'all get down to the negative, below zero, then talk to me. Come holler at your boy when you get okay. Down below. When that thing say negative, when it say negative, negative 10, negative 20, negative 5, then come holler at your boy.
Oh, tree.
But I know, tree. But I know that's right. But I know it's cold down there. For you, for all the listeners and all our family that's in the South, you know. Here y'all been having 30-degree weather, so that is cold. I mean, that is cold, man. I talked to some brothers yesterday. They said they weren't even going outside, boy. I said, ooh-wee. They said, we ain't even going outside. I think I heard Tony Vine say, I ain't even going outside. So, but yeah, we know it's cold, but we pray that you all find shelter and stay warm, man. And if you go out, if you ain't got to be out there, don't go out there. And if you do, make sure you're bungled up. You know, I don't even know if y'all store or sell long johns and all that kind of winter stuff. I don't even know if y'all store or sell that type of stuff down there. But y'all stay warm. Okay.
Right, we got it, but look here, man. They mentioned snow, and we ain't seen no snow, man. And everybody went crazy buying up all the milk and the bread and everything. So at least they got a stock, because it sure we ain't seen no snow.
Yeah, I know. They say most of the northern part of Georgia did get some snow. I guess Canton, Georgia, they got some snow, and then over in the Carolinas area, they got some snow. But I guess southern part
on,
of Georgia
didn't
on, get
man.
The
come
snow
on.
That the weatherman.
Come on, Mike. That's just like frost on your windshield. That's just like frost on your windshield. Come on, Mike.
Some people down south, that's like a blizzard to them. You know what I'm saying? that little stuff on the windshield, like a blizzard. I remember when Atlanta had a little bit, boy, they shut the whole town down, you know. But we pray y'all continue to be blessed down there, even in the midst of that weather. I heard y'all probably getting some decent weather throughout the week, though. I heard it supposed to get back up in the 60s or something for you all. So, you know,
that's a blessing.
But, yeah, good to hear your voice today, my brother. And, like I say, let's go to the phones and see what the callers have to say tonight, and we're going to get into the word, and we're not going to keep you alone tonight. Amen.
Amen. All right. Start off, Ben. We got the one and only. Wouldn't be no her. Wouldn't be no you without her. Come on in there, Mother Hill. How you doing tonight, Mother Hill?
I'm blessed. How are you all doing?
Wonderful, 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 Mother.
I'm just anxious to get back to part two of what's being added to the list of self-control, because I've been studying this, but I'm having some difficulty on some things, so I've been going back through it. But I'm anxious and waiting for the other things to add to my list, and I'll keep listening.
Uh-oh. Amen. 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 We appreciate your interest. We appreciate your willingness to want to learn even more about it. So that's a blessing. So we thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, moving right along here. We got our faithful Brother Butcher. Brother Butcher, your mic is open. Brother Butcher.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. And what's up? I'm glad to hear you guys today. Thank you, Mom. I'm interested in hearing part two, Mike, so we can get on with it. So thank you guys for talking to me and praying for me. And I'll get on mute and listen to the word. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, man, we appreciate you, Butchie. Me and my wife was talking the other day about it. Now, we brought you up, Brother Butchie, you know what I'm saying? We said if nobody else receive anything from this show, we know that Brother Butchie does, and we appreciate you, man. We really do, man. We appreciate you, Brother Butchie, more than you can imagine or more than you know. Even in spite of your situation, you don't stop that from deterring you from tuning in weekly. It don't deter you from studying the Word of God, and that means a lot. That means a lot. You know, you have people that's way healthier than you and don't even do half of the stuff you do when it comes to the Word of God. So we thank you, Brother Butchie. And like I said, me and my wife was discussing you the other day and saying, man, nobody else get nothing. We know Brother Butchie getting it because you asking questions.
Amen.
You're talking about what scripture is this. You know what I'm saying? So we thank you, Brother Butchie, and we don't want it to go unnoticed.
Well, thank you.
Want to give you want to acknowledge that publicly, that you are a living example. You are a living testimony in the earth realm, right here on this show, about the love of Christ that's ruling in your heart. There's a difference between I love Christ and you got Christ ruling in you, in your heart. There's a difference, and I believe that Christ is definitely ruling in your heart. So, Brother Butchie, continue to be encouraged. Continue to do what you're doing, man, because God has some great things in store for you. Your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard what God has in store for you in 2017. So be encouraged, my brother, and we love you. If nobody else don't love you, you know that Brother Hill and Sister Hill love you with the love of Christ, and there's nothing you can do about it, my brother.
Brother Willie, love him too.
Thank you so much.
Brother Willie, love him too.
Amen.
And
I appreciate it,
Willie. You're still in the race. You're still in the race. Oak tree.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I'm gonna be in it too. Thank you so much.
Brother Michael, I'm gonna have to confess now. That self control hit a lot of us. We even was talking about it on the morning show with the boys and everything. And I gotta admit, I'm a work in progress. I ain't stopped cussing, but I did decrease it. So that is a start. I did cut back. I was catching myself more and more trying to get my self control under. But you made me feel a little guilty last week. And you said when things are going okay, we don't just want to thank the Lord for things are going okay. So I just want to thank the Lord for giving me breath to be here tonight. And I just want to do that, Mike. I want to do that, Brother Mike.
Amen. 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 And I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your work in progress. You know, and I don't expect people to change overnight. I know a lot of we want people to change when we want them to change, but it's all in God's timing. You know what I'm saying? But when we can see some kind of progress, we know that there's an effort being put forth, and that's the only thing that matters, you know, with this walk with Christ. You know, I mean, we can all point fingers of who need to be doing what and what they need to be doing, but at the end of the day, it's what God says and what pleases him. So, you know, any improvement in anybody's life, you know what I'm saying, is a blessing, you know, because you don't – you didn't have to do it, you know what I'm saying? And like I say, I believe you're doing it because you want to do better and you want to please God, and that's what we all need to do, not because our brother or sister wants to do it. It's because that's what God wants us to do, and that's what we want to do. That we want to have a made-up mind, that we want to be changed, and we want to please God. We might not please God in everything we do, But we striving to please him at the best of our ability, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I thank you for your honesty, and I thank you for your growth. You know, many people might not think you're growing, but I know you're growing. You might not be doing it the way people want you to do it, you know what I'm saying? But that's between you and God. And like I say, man, keep doing what you're doing. And like I say, as long as you keep trying, man, God will give you the strength. You know what I'm saying? If we stop leaning on our own understanding and stop trying to do things within our own power and do it with the power of God, we can be more successful in the things that we are trying to overcome in our personal life. So I thank you, Brother Willie, and I appreciate you, man, and I love you more.
Amen. Well, that being said, Brother Mike, we don't have any more hands up tonight. I mean, we got people on the line. Oh, here we go, one right here. 910-2134. That's a new number, listen. That's Sister Johnson or somebody that switched up on me.
No, it's Brother Johnson. How you guys doing? Hi, Mike Hill. Hi, Brother Willie. How's everything going?
Hey, Brother Daryl.
Hey,
my brother.
Hey,
how
look,
you doing?
I'm doing just fine, doing just fine. I hadn't come on the show in a while, but I've been listening periodically on Sunday nights. I had to stay off the show because I was going through some things, and what would happen is I come on the show and get off the show, then it would cause other problems, so I just stayed off the show. But what I will say, I learned a valuable lesson. About 2 years ago, I moved away from my actually, a year ago, I moved away from my spiritual surroundings. And when you do that, that is a very, very dangerous place to be in because you open the door for the adversary to run havoc all over your life. And he will take you places because once you move yourself out of the realm of God, you will go places because he will lead you everywhere that you want to that you don't want to go. And he will convince you that you're doing the right thing because I really convinced myself that I was doing the right thing. And I left my church and got involved in other churches. And since my church was a big church and these were small churches, I had actually convinced myself that I would do better in these little churches because when it comes to tithing and offerings and blessings, you know, I'm not cheap. I give from my heart, you know, and I do when tithing, I do what I'm supposed to do. Meaning, you know, I put it all out there, and I convinced myself that these churches needed my help more than my church. So I ran wild with that. So, you know, lately I've been feeling like, God didn't do this. You did this on your own. You convinced yourself that everything you was doing was doing the right thing. And I had to sit back and look at myself and look at everything that's going on. And I was like, no, this just, it's not right. It's not right. And I had to come on back home, get back in my church where I belong. And I'll tell you, I feel really good to be back home. And I just want to, you know, say to hopefully somebody takes something away from what I'm saying, which is if you're in a good covering, never walk away from it. Don't let nobody, excuse me, don't let the adversary convince you that you're needed elsewhere. And that's what I did. You know, I did that all on my own. But I'm grateful to God that he did show me the light. And that I did allow myself to be teachable once again because I thought I had it going on, and I didn't. And with that being said, I'm going to go on back on mute.
Amen. We appreciate you. Appreciate you, Brother Daryl, for coming on and sharing that with us. And like I say, anytime we make decisions, we should all seek God first. You know, God knows what's best. A lot of times we think we know what's best for ourselves or our family.
Right.
But a lot of times we be messing up. So anytime we make decisions, especially major decisions when it comes to spiritual growth or things of that nature, finding a church or things of that nature, we must seek God, you know, because God knows beforehand what's best for you. And a lot of times when we make those decisions, we find out the decisions we made wasn't the decision that God wants us to make. So that's when we mess up. So I'm glad you learned that lesson to seek God before you make any kind of decisions, and like any major decisions in your life, you want to seek God, whether it's churches, job, education, spouses, marrying someone. You must seek God first, because God knows the hearts of people. We don't know the hearts of people. Only God knows that. We're always looking on the outer appearance of a person, but God looks at the heart, and we can't see a person's heart. They can act one way today. They can act one way tomorrow. They can act one way 6 months from now, a year from now. But at the end of the day, only God knows a person's heart. So that's a freebie I gave you all tonight. So remember that anytime you're making a decision in life, a major decision, always seek the guidance and the wisdom of God. So we thank you,
that's
Brother
right.
Darrell. We appreciate you. And like you say, and that's a trick of the enemy, too, to keep you off the show. That ain't God. God ain't told you to stay off the show. That was your flesh telling you to stay off the show. That was the enemy encouraging you to stay off the show. But God wants you to stay in the midst of the fire. It's like if you go camping and it get cold at night, stay warm. You stay warm while you stay around the campfire. When you walk away from the campfire, you get cold, and you run back to the campfire to warm your hands up and your feet up. You know, God wants you to stay around the fire. And this show is the fire that God wants you to stay around. No matter what you're going through in your personal life, don't let your flesh or the enemy tell you that you don't need to listen to this show. You know what I'm saying? That's a lie from the pit of hell. And God will never tell you to stay away from something that's going to make you grow spiritually and that's going to equip you for the adversary. So continue to keep that in mind, that God is not going to tell you to stay away from a Bible study or a prayer section. That's only going to be your flesh and the enemy that will tell you that, especially when it's helping you grow in different areas of your life. So never do that again. Don't do that. That's a trick of the enemy. So I thank you for coming back. I thank you for tuning in, and I pray that God will continue to order your steps from this day forward, that 2017 will be greater than 2016. No matter what's in store for you, it will be greater, much greater, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's job, ministry, whatever it is. I'm praying that 2017 is greater than 2016 for you, my brother. So be encouraged.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you.
Amen.
I mean, I know it's going to be better, but I just want to clear something up. I was still listening in on the show. I just wasn't hitting the one button and coming on and saying anything. That's
okay.
What I was saying.
All right.
No, I was still listening.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
We appreciate that.
Brother Charles,
okay.
Your mic is open. Brother Charles, your mic is open.
Praise God, my brothers. How you guys doing tonight? How you doing, Willie?
All right, I'm just fine, Charlie. Just fine, brother.
Good. I've been talking with Mike all day. I know he's doing well. Hey, I'm thankful to God for allowing me to wake up in the land of the dying, as Mike always says. It's this last couple of weeks been kind of trying on me. I haven't really discussed it with Mike, but I've been losing guys that I've worked with for the last 30 for 40 years on my job. You know, I had about three guys pass away, guys that have been retired stuff a while. And he and I always talk about how it takes a lifetime to make these friendships, and then in the twinkle of an eye, you know, they can be gone and stuff, you know. So my heart is a little bit heavy, but I know that they are in better places than here right now. You know, we think that we're doing well, but actually, you know, we're in the pit of hell, you know, somewhat. So, but I'm thankful that I got a chance to meet those guys and know those guys and shared opportunities, shared family relationships with them and stuff, you know, because they were my second family, you know. I mean, we don't look at the people that we work with as family. But they actually are, you know. I mean, whether we like them or not, you know. So I just want to thank God for allowing me to have the, you know, the memories that they've left with me, and I know that that they're in God's hands, you know. So I like to ask Mike to say a prayer for the Alvin Pickens family, also for the Edward Campbell family, and My brother Robert Polk, his wife passed away, and now they had her service yesterday. So those.
You
those
said
two
Al. You said Alvin who?
Alvin Pickens.
Okay.
Edward Campbell.
Edward Campbell.
And,
okay.
Right, and Robert Polk. Robert Polk is he's some kind of official over there in Burnham. They always say he was the mayor of Burnham. I'm not sure if he was actually the mayor or not, but his wife passed away. And they just had a service. So, you know, I just want to tell people that, you know, hey, you know, the people that we know, the friends that we know, you know, they're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow. So, you know, try to you know, tell them you love them and, you know, and just have fine memories of them, you know, when they do go, you know. I want to go back on mute. I'm looking forward to the second part of the self-control sermon tonight also, Mike.
Amen, amen. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Amen, amen.
All right. We got brother or sister fan. I'm both on the phone. Y'all mic are open. Brother fan, sister fan, which one is it? I don't know, both. Brother fan, sister fan.
Hey, how y'all doing? Brother Willie and Brother
all
Mike.
Right.
Hey, brother fan. Wonderful.
We done showed milestone another year. I mean, I'm just looking and listening, and, man, I listen out stronger. Even within you, I heard a strength in you, even though I know it's been there, and I felt it all along. But it seemed like the more you talk and the more we listen at you, the stronger. And I hear them Willie, you know, and everything. And, I'm just letting y'all know that I'm here tonight to back and forth from last week, and it's a new year. Hey, we rolling on around, man. I remember when this show first got started. It been kicked on and kept kicking and moving, and you know who brought us here. So you just gotta pray and, you know, praise God and everything. And I know that's why this show is lasting as long as it is, and it's gonna keep on lasting. I hope to have many more years with y'all, brothers. And I was just calling in to say that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Fan. We appreciate you and your wife. Appreciate what God is doing, especially in you all's life and the life of your family. So thank you all for your support. From day one, you all been tuning in, and you're still hanging in there with us. So we appreciate that. For you.
Yeah. For you. Yeah. Amen. Brother Maul, your mic is open. Brother Maul, your mic is open. Brother Maul.
How y'all doing? How you doing, Mike? We're here.
We're here, Maul.
How you doing, brother? That's right.
Wonderful.
I just got all right, man. Just a little, watch a little football, bro. Just calling in, man, supporting your show, man. You know, I want you to pray for the morning show, boys. You know, all mankind. You know how I do it, Mike. Pray for all mankind, man, and give a special prayer, man, to Mr. Willie Watson, and my brother Damian Watkins. Give a special prayer to them too, man. I think Keith's been dealing with a lot of pain lately, and you know, Willie been cleaning up. I've been listening to him. You know, I'm more of an observer. I talk a lot, but I observe a lot too. And you know, just get them to their, you know, a special prayer, man. And I'm gonna try to see if I get Brother Watkins up to my church come next Sunday, and just give a special prayer out to them, man, and your lovely wife, man, and your mother, man. And I'm going on mute, man. Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, amen. Thank you, Ma. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you and your wife for tuning in every week. You know, we thank you for your support from day one. You all been supporting this show, so we appreciate you. But we definitely will lift these brothers up and all mankind up, as your prayer request was stated tonight.
All right, Brother Mike, we have some powerful people saying some powerful things, and I don't know about you, but it makes me feel good that, like I said, they still hanging in there with us, man. It makes a difference to me, cause I'm kind of, you know, I do monitor the show, which, you know, I do it on my own, and I do see some people when they think they don't need it, they kind of wander away from us. But these people and these guys in the night, man, it, like you said, and with Butchie, if only one person gets them out of the show, it it that helps me too, Mike. So, hey, man, I just love it, man. And I'm trying to stay here as long as Lord let me stay. I'm going to be here, brother. Love you, brother. No more hands up right now. We're waiting for the word tonight. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. I just want to do a sidebar real quick. You know, me and Maul, we talk like CJ talk. We talk all the time, you know, usually every day, especially when he's working. You know, we get a chance to talk a lot and bounce stuff off each other. And me and Maul was just talking. I was telling him, we were telling each other about how I look on social media, and a lot of times I will post stuff up, you know, spiritual stuff, you know, something that encourage a person throughout the week or just that day. And, you know, I get responses. I get a few comments and things of that nature. And I was telling Ma, I say it was one particular guy post up about a car. And the response this brother got, you know, he don't know more people than I know. We probably know about the same amount of people. He might got a little bit more fan base in the racing community because of his status of who he is in the racing community. But he put something up real simple about a car. And the man had over 630-some comments and 316 likes on this one little comment he made on Facebook. And I told Ma, I said, isn't that amazing how I put something up spiritually about God and we get 10 or 15 likes and maybe 15 or 20 comments. But this man put up something about a car. And he get over between his likes and his comments, get almost 1,000 people. I said that.
You sounded like me, brother.
Hey, Willie, that there, man, boy, I'm talking about. I felt like you too. I ain't gonna lie now. I felt like you. I felt like the old Willie. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, really? Really? And I started to go on there and put up, can anybody tell me how many disciples Jesus had and name two of them? I'm going to give you $50 and see how many comments I would have got and how many likes I would have got. You know, I ain't got no PayPal, but I know Willie got one. We're going to make sure that $50 get to you. Can anybody tell me the name of two disciples and how many disciples and see how many comments we would have got? You know, I told Maul can witness, I told Maul I started to do it, you know, because I was like, wow, really? And the people, and then I seen people that be on the show comment on this but don't comment on the stuff that I put up. I'm like, wow.
I'm gonna tell you, Mike. I've been guilty. I look at everything you put up there. I said to myself, I ain't gonna comment on it or nothing because if I do, that'll just make people come on there that know me. They might just come in because I come in. So I ain't gonna say nothing. Every now and then I might hit a like. If it hit me real good, I might hit a like on it. But I don't comment on it. So because I don't want to bring attention to it and just see. I'll be doing just like you. I'll be monitoring just to see how many people really gonna say anything about it.
And I said, man, I'm looking over here.
But Mike, let me ask you a question about that. Are we wrong for doing that? Why do we do that, Mike? Are we wrong for doing that?
Why do we do what?
Monitor that, and why does that bother us then? Because, you know, you had to get me out of it because I was bad at it. I didn't got out of it quite a bit, but that's what I used to do all the time. I was bad at doing that. Are we wrong for doing that?
No, we're not wrong for doing it. It just shows me where a person's heart is really at. And I say this all the time, where your focus is, that's where your heart's going to be. So that post that guy put up shows me where most people focus is at, and that's where their heart is at. And we have people making comments that be right here on this show, people we didn't pray for, people that we didn't intercede on their behalf, don't even comment on the spiritual stuff, don't even like it. But they get on this other, on this worldly stuff and like it all day long and comment it all day long. And it just amazes me how the things of God is not important to the so-called people that love God. You know, I mean, I just happen to be strolling and saw this post. And usually I don't pay attention about how many people like it or how many people comment, but this particular post the Holy Spirit just brought it to my attention because I had just put some up on Facebook and shared on inspirational page and all that, and I'm looking at the comments and the likes, and I'm looking at what the likes that this person got in the comments. I say, wow, really? You know, and then I'm looking at the people that comment be on the show, people that we didn't pray for, people we didn't intercede for. And I'm like, wow, we can't even get a comment or a like on something spiritual. But as soon as something happened to their family or as soon as something happened to them, then here they come. You know, it just amazed me. You know what I'm saying? I believe it just opened my eyes up. God just wanted me to see that. You know what I'm saying? He just wanted me to see that. You know what I'm saying? Where the mindset of people at today. He just wanted me to see that and get that revelation where the mindset of people at today in the society that we living in today. Man, we got killing all across the country. We got the terrorists. We got people killing folks in the airport. We got stuff going on in our community, our neighborhoods, our families. And it's like, this is where your mindset is at, the kind of mindset you have? Wow, somebody, really?
But, Mike, ain't that just like giving? You give from the heart and you get your blessings from giving. Should we worry about if they don't come in on it? Should we just go ahead and do it without condition?
No, we shouldn't worry about it. But like I said, God wanted me to see that for a particular reason. He wanted me to see that to show me where the listeners and the so-called people that we know, where their heart's at. So now I know how to pray for those individuals. You know, now I'm not praying that you get a job. I'm not praying that you get a financial breakthrough. I'm praying that you have salvation with the Lord. I'm praying that you grow spiritually with God. That's my prayer. That's what my prayer is going
to
be. God showed me for a particular reason.
Huh? Mike, where you at? Mike didn't hit the wrong button.
I'm here.
Oh. Mike, where you at?
I'm here. Where you at?
Maybe somebody want Mike to send it. Mike, where you at?
I'm here. No, can you hear me?
Brother Maul, fan, y'all out there, y'all
on mute.
Y'all, everybody's mic is open, but I can't hear Mike. Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you, Brother Mike.
We can hear you. Come off mute.
Yeah, I hear him, Willie.
Mike, we couldn't hear you, Mike. At least I couldn't.
They heard me, Willie.
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, the Lord. Somebody must have didn't want me to hear it then.
Okay. Right. You must have been on mute.
No. Me being on mute would have made me not hear you, though. Me being on mute would have made me not hear you.
Yeah, everybody heard me. Even my wife was in the next room and said they heard me. Paul Texas said he heard me.
I got nervous there. I lost him. I got scared there. I thought maybe I was possessed over him. So.
Now we hear him, Willie.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No more hands up, Brother Mike. No hands up, Brother Mike.
Thanks, brother Mac. Mac say he heard us, and amen. And we serve a jealous God, and he don't want us to put nothing before him. No thing, no one before him. We serve a jealous God, that's all I'm saying is God has brought that to my attention. You know, I don't stalk Facebook to see who comment and who's saying this and who's saying that. That's the first time that God revealed that to me, but it just amazed me. You know, I know people only come on certain shows or go to church for certain reason because of whatever their circumstances may be at that particular time. You know, but that there, man, just it just really opened my understanding about the mind of people in today's society. That's all it is. Somebody got some background noise. Put your phone on mute.
Yeah, I'm closing the mics up now. I'm closing all. I left all the mics open till you got ready to say the word. I'm closing them all now, Brother Mike.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Mike.
But other than that, that's about it. I just wanted to share that, you know, because like I said, me and Brother Maul was talking about that, and I see how so many people, you know, just showed me where they focus at and where their heart was at. But in spite of that, that's it. That's all. Last week we talked about self-control. Let me give you the definition about self-control. Self-control is the ability to control oneself, in a particular one's emotions and desires, or the expressions of them in one's behavior, especially especially in difficult situations. Self-control is the quality that allows you to stop yourself from doing things you want to do, but that might not be in your best interest. For an example, without self-control, you might curse, you might lie, you might burp nonstop without self-control. And tonight I want to talk about thoughts are not deeds. Your thoughts are not the same as your deeds. Thoughts are not deeds. Another lie that we all tell ourselves is, since I thought it, I might as well do it. Can anybody identify with me tonight? You know, you've been in that state of mind where you said, since I thought it, I might as well do it. Since I thought about cussing, I might as well go ahead and cuss. Since I thought about lying, I might as well just go ahead and lie. Thoughts are not deeds. This lie is usually associated with lustful thoughts. Usually with lustful thoughts, this particular lie about if I thought it, I might as well do it. People usually misinterpret Jesus' teaching on adultery, which was in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. For the ones that's taking notes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. A lot of people misinterpreted this particular scripture where Jesus says, but I tell you that if anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Some people may claim, well, since thinking about it, it's the same as doing it. Since I'm thinking about it, I might as well just do it. Since I'm thinking about it, this is so rational. To be funny, to the point where it's become a tragic. If thinking about something is the same as doing it, why do you ever need to do it? If thinking about something is the same as doing it, why do we ever need to do it? It is clear that thinking lustful thoughts is not the same as actual acting on them. Let's look carefully at what Jesus said concerning a man who lusts for another woman besides his wife. He said that such a man has committed adultery with her in his notice. That he did not say that the man committed adultery in his flesh. Adultery in the heart is wrong. We know that. But it is not equal to adultery in the flesh. First of all, try using the same rational with your watch. Let's try it. You men out there, or you women, try this with your spouse and see if she buys it. Honey, you can say, honey, since I've already thought about lustful thoughts about someone, I'm going to go ahead and pursue her or pursue him since I'm already guilty. Spouse, go for that. I'll be surprised if she or he doesn't set you straight. Same thing. Another example. You can desire cigarettes all day long. You can desire drinking all day long, but you won't get lung cancer or get drunk just by thinking about them. I can have a thought about drinking. Getting drunk, I can be thinking about getting drunk, but I'm not going to actually get drunk until I actually physically drink some alcohol. You will have to smoke cigarettes to bring the physical harm to your body, the same as deeds. Another lie we tell ourselves is, if I worked so hard and done so well, so I deserve to indulge a little bit. That's another lie we tell ourselves. That's another lie that the devil tells us. I work so hard Ain't nothing wrong with me just indulging just a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with me get a little sip of alcohol. Ain't nothing wrong with me to smoke a little weed here and there. Ain't nothing wrong with this. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's just a little bit. It ain't gonna hurt nobody. That's a lie that the devil tells us. Jesus told us to adopt a more humble attitude when we have done well, saying in Luke chapter 17, for those who are taking notes, Luke chapter 17, verse 10, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Many people try to reward themselves for doing their reasonable duty by actually undoing the good they have done. A husband who has been addicted to gambling almost lost everything, so he finally stopped gambling for an entire year. But one day, let me give you this example. One day, he came home. Let's say he came home and said, honey, I got two tickets to Las Vegas. Honey, look. His wife told him, I don't think that's a good idea. Then he tell his wife, I haven't gambled in more than a year. It won't hurt for us to go for a weekend, just 2 days. This is a lie that he tells himself. This man believes he deserves to splurge just because he haven't done something within a year, because he stopped gambling or stopped drinking in a year. He say, I can indulge in a little gambling, or I can go down to the bar and drink with the fellas just one time, just a little bit. But what he failed to realize was that the moment he entered into a casino, in the moment you enter into a lounge or a bar, the gambling or the alcohol bug will hit you all over again. Another lie we tell ourselves is, I really need this. Can anybody identify with me when I say, I really need this? Has anyone said that to themselves? I really need this. This person has confused a need with a desire. Most of the time, we confuse a need with a desire. You don't need an extra piece of pie. You don't need to go to the strip club. You don't need to go to a certain event or a certain race. You don't need to drive a car. You don't need to snort cocaine. You don't need to drink some alcohol. You don't need to shoot no dope up your arm. You don't need to do all these things. What you're really trying to say is your desire and your lust for it. You don't really need it to survive. You don't need these things to survive. You can go without these things and still survive. There's a difference between a need and a desire. Someone might say that's right. I don't need it. I can give it up anytime. I just don't want to. Now, we know that's a joke, right? This person does not want to because the lust has overtaken him or her. Him or her doesn't want to admit that he or she is being controlled by something. We don't want to admit that we are being controlled. We don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that it's controlling us and we are not controlling it. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Those that are controlled by their sinful desire, their sinful nature, rather, cannot please God. You cannot please God in your sinful nature. This person does not want to admit that something evil is controlling him. Most people that's an alcoholic don't want to admit that the spirit of alcoholism is controlling them. Most people that's addicted to drugs don't want to admit, some do and some won't admit that particular spirit controls them. We have a lot of people in the racing community that's addicted to racing. Feel that they can't do it without it. They got to go to the track every day. They got to go to the track every weekend. They can't do without it. They got to smell the gas. They got to go and be at the track week in and week out. Some people believe that they can't do without it. Some don't even, would not even admit that it controls them. Until you admit this, you will never seek to put your flesh under subjection. The first victory in anything that controls you is to admit that you have a problem, that this is controlling you, and that you need to put all this under subjection. Finally, another big lie we tell ourselves is, someone else made me do it. Same thing. This lie comes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and when Adam told God that and blamed it on Eve about him sinning. A husband might argue, my wife got me so angry, so it is her fault for making me hit her. No. One has control over your action. You must have control over your actions. But you, no one has control over your actions but you. No matter how mad your spouse may get you upset, you cannot blame her actions. You can't make her, you can't blame her for you hitting her or cussing her out and things of that nature or doing her wrong. You are in control of your own actions, not her. Others may make excuses. You don't understand. I couldn't help but steal because of the neighborhood I grew up in. Yeah, I heard a lot of that. Because I grew up in a single family home and my mother didn't have much and my mother raised me and my five brothers and she worked four jobs, so we had to get it the best way we can. No, you making excuses. Times, you know, it's sad about the situations, the circumstances that you grew up in. But even in those circumstances, it cannot make you do anything. We know other people have had similar circumstances, yet they resist the temptations to the thieves. You can too. There's certain, as other families, mothers have raised kids by themselves, and the kids turn out to be great kids. They didn't steal. They didn't rob. They weren't out there doing wrong. They went to school, got an education, and made something out of themselves. They was in the same circumstances, under the same circumstances that you and your family was in. So why they turned out to be okay, but you didn't turn out to be okay? It's because they didn't make excuses. They did not make excuses about their circumstances. Self-control is a choice. You can choose how your life is going to be. You may argue, I didn't choose to be an alcoholic. It's not my fault that I grew up with alcoholic parents. If I hadn't had them as parents, I wouldn't be an alcoholic today. Please, don't confuse what others did with what you are doing. Responsible for their lives. But you are responsible for yours. We must stop blaming others for the way we are and take some responsibility. Life is like a stage play. You come on the scene with the stage already set. You did not choose your setting. You did not choose the parents who may have abused you. You did not select a teacher at school who ridiculed you. You did not pick out the peers that tease you. You did not desire a spouse who cheated on you. You did not pick the stage. The stage was already set. It was set and prompt. As Brother Maul just said, they were here when we arrived. Or perhaps they changed without your consent. God comes to you, however, with a blank piece of paper in his hand, and he gives it to us, and along with that, a pen. Then he says to you, in effect, the stage is already set, but you must write down the script. You will choose what your character will do in this real life play. You will decide how your character will react to the parents, friends, acquaintance you have in your life. In your life drama, you determine how you will respond to ridiculing teachers, teas and peers. You will determine what you are going to do after your spouse leave you for another person. Are you going to wallow in self-pity, down yourself, swallow a bottle of alcohol, gouge yourself with food, or will you forgive and make your life better? The choice is yours. You and you alone write your script. I tell young people all the time, I say, look at your hands. They look at their hands. I say, your life is in your hands. We write our own destiny. We write the script. Yes, we grew up in an unfunctional home. Yes, we grew up in the ghetto, in the hood. And yes, we grew up around crime and gangbanger. But there's people that we know that made it out of that situation, that made it out of those circumstances. We can't blame our spouse. We can't blame our kids. We can't blame our parents and grandparents. We can't blame society on how we turn out. A deliverance ministry does not have the power to write your script. It is called self-control for a reason. You are only the person who can implement it. Only you have the ability to exercise it. Tell yourself that you cannot do it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The script is in your hands. You are the author. And my question is for you tonight, what will you write? What will you write? The script is in your hands. And my question is to you tonight, what will you write? Control is the ability to control oneself and in particular one's emotions and desires or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. Don't let the difficult situations control you to the point where you lose self-control. Oh, I'm broke, so I'm gonna stick somebody up. My wife ain't showing me no kind of love, so I'm gonna do my own thing. Or my husband ain't doing what he's supposed to do, so I'm gonna walk out on him or her. Let's have self-control, my people. It is a gift from God for them that have been born again. Self-control is the quality that allows you to stop yourself from doing things you want to do that might not be in your best interest. The script is in your hand. You are the author. So it's time for us to write it. What will you write? Would you write a bunch of excuses? Would you blame a lot of people? And would you blame your mother, your parents, your spouse, your children, your grandparents, your neighborhood, the government, the white man? Or would you take the responsibility? Because the script is in your hands. Your life is in your hands. Let's stop pointing the finger at man and look in the mirror. Ask yourself that question. Are you doing what you need to be doing? Are you pleasing God? when you go for a job, a lot of us have a resume. What is your resume saying? What is your life resume saying? What is your spiritual resume saying? Is anything on your spiritual resume? I prayed this week. I read my Bible this week. I went to church this week. I listened to the Inspirational Hour show this week. I prayed for my neighbor. I prayed for my coworker. What is on your resume this week? Have you been writing down on your spiritual resume? I resisted of cussing somebody out. I resist and saying this and doing that. Is that on your resume? Self-control is powerful. And God has given us that ability and that gift as a born-again believer to have self-control. Do you have self-control to hold your tongue when you want to say something that you know that you shouldn't be saying? Do you have self-control when you know you shouldn't be doing something that you still do it? Just try it, and you'll find out it's really not that easy as people think it is. That's why we have a society the way we have a our society is the way it is today. Thoughts are not deeds. Because you think it, it's not the same as doing it. Does not mean you do it. Yes, sin always starts with a thought. It always starts with a thought. And then you meditate on it. You meditate on that thought. And the more you meditate on that thought, the more you desire to do that, to bring it to fruition. When you keep thinking about bad things and doing bad things, if you meditate on it long enough, it's easier for it to come to pass. Be pondering on it. You've been meditating on it. You've been dwelling on it day in and day out. And as you continue to meditate and dwell on that particular sin, eventually it's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to pass. But self-control says, I'm not going to think about it, and I'm definitely not going to do it. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, no, we ain't doing that. We ain't saying that. We ain't going there. So you got to talk to yourself. Man, we ain't going there today. We ain't doing that. We ain't going to say that today. No, we ain't do. That's how you got to talk. You got to talk to yourself like you talk to your kids or your spouse or your friend or your homeboy or your homegirl. I ain't doing that today. Tell yourself, self, we ain't doing that today. We ain't saying it today. I ain't getting high today. I ain't fornicating today. I ain't drinking today. I ain't lying today. You got to tell yourself. You got to tell yourself what you ain't going to do. Just like yourself tell you what you're going to do. You got to tell yourself, I ain't doing that today. I've made up my mind. I ain't doing it today. And the more you deny your, the more you stop doing it, the more you stand up against your flesh, the more easier it become not to do it. Man, I thought I would never be able to stop carrying pistols and things of that nature. I say, man, I'm finna go back to Chicago and can't carry a pistol. Man, I dealt with that. Man, I was struggling with that. I was like, man, woo-wee, I'm going to pull this off. I'm used to carrying a pistol everywhere I go. Even up in church, I might have a pistol up in me, on me. So how am I going to do this? I can't have a gun no more? What? Living in Chicago with no pistol? Oh, no, man, please. I struggled with that. Then the Lord said, the battle is mine. I can fight every battle for you better than you can fight it. And I had to really let the Holy Spirit minister that unto me to the point that I had peace. And then when I ended up getting the job with the city, you know, I was going in some of the worst neighborhoods in the middle of the night trying to get some of these stolen cars out of these abandoned garages. But God gave me peace, man. Ain't no way in the past I would win in these neighborhoods without being strapped. Do you hear me? Ain't no way I would have went in some of these areas in Chicago without a pistol. But God, it wasn't nobody but God that gave me peace in the midst of all of that. And I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't me. Because if it was left up to me, I would have got me a pistol. I said, man, I ain't finna let nobody hurt me. In these gang territory neighborhoods, it might be they stash car where they got pistols and dope stashed in it, and I'm towing their cars from off their blocks and out of their garages and out of their alleys. It wasn't nobody but God that gave me the peace, my brothers and sisters. So you can't tell me you can't stop doing the things that God wants you to stop doing. You can do it. But you cannot do it within your own power. It's going to take the power of God. You can't do it without God. You can try. You can succeed today. You can succeed to next week, next month. But eventually you're going to fail if you continue to try to lean on your own understanding. If you try to do things in your own power, you are going to fail. You might be successful for a year or stop doing something, but eventually you're going to fall. And when you fall, you're going to fall hard, and you have to start all back over again. It's like a dope fiend, stop getting high. Been sober for 10 years, and when he get high, they say that the spirit comes back seven times greater. You think it was hard the first time to stop? Multiply that by seven. That's how great it is to stop again. So I just pray that this word, self-control, minister to your soul, because it ministered to me. Don't take self-control lightly. God has given you the ability. Self-control is a gift from God. You have it inside of you. It's up to you to use it. If you don't use it, you're not going to be able to practice it. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that came forth. We thank you that thoughts are not deeds. We thank you, Father God, that you minister unto our soul tonight. Father God, we glorify you. We magnify you that your word fell on good ground tonight, that some man or some woman took in what was said tonight, and they will be changed forevermore, that they will practice self-control to the point, Father God, that they will see it in their life, that they will be able to say no to anything that's contrary to your word. Father God, give my brothers and sisters the ability, Father God, and give them encouragement, Father God, to have that self-control, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of temptation, Father God. Father God, I know it's easier for us to say yes to temptation, but it's much harder for us to say no to temptation. But Father God, with your spirit dwelling on the inside of every believer, we have the ability, we have the power, and we have the authority to say no. So Father God, allow us a practice of saying no to ourselves. That we would speak into our own life. We would speak into our own situation and tell ourselves no to whatever it is that we need to say no to. No matter if it's smoking, drinking, gambling, alcoholism, drugs, pornography, fornication, adultery, whatever it may be, lying, cheating, robbing, stealing, whatever it may be, Father God, encourage us to be able to say no to those things. Father, I thank you for every listener. I thank you for every family that's represented tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you, Father, for all you have done, all you're doing, and all you're going to continue to do in 2017. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. If anybody got any takeaways tonight, press your one button and press it again so Willie can see your hand. I know somebody should have some takeaways tonight on what was said tonight, and then we're going to move on with the final prayer and then a song, and then we're going to close out the show. We thank you for your patience, and thank you for your support. Amen.
I open everybody's mic open that was already open, so if they want to say something, Brother Mike, they can.
Amen. Anybody got anything to say before we close out? Anybody?
Yeah, great show, Mike.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Maul.
Yes. Okay. Everybody that was already spoken, Mike is already open. We got a couple of new callers that came in a little late. They want to say something, just hit the one button. If not, Brother Mike, no more hands up, and then it's already open all the mics.
Great show, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Butchie. Appreciate it.
Like self-control is the key, no doubt. And that's something that our society sorely lacks right now. You know, I mean, it's evident in what you see on the news every day. You know, I mean, people are out of control.
All right.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
We got Sister Emily in here. She's probably going to come in and confess because I had to get on her because she wasn't on the show at first. Your mic open, Sister Emily.
Hey, how are y'all? Yeah, for the first time in many, many months, I was actually a few minutes late. I apologize for that. But I just want to come and give thanks to God because I start back to school tomorrow, and I'm really excited about that, and I'm just thankful for what he's doing in my life.
Amen, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, Sister mm-hmm. Emily. We're glad you're back in school, and pray to God continue to order your steps as you go to school and get what God has for you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Mike, no more hands up.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to go into prayer, then we're going to play a song, and then we're going to get out of here. Well, like I said, we thank you all for coming in and tuning in tonight with us. It's truly a blessing. Take your self-control seriously. Don't take it lightly. You know, it is. Matter of fact, it can save your soul, and it can save your life. You know, most folks that's in prison right now, that's on trial for murder. You know, saying the reason why a lot of them end up committing murder is because they didn't have no self-control. You know, a lot of our brothers and sisters are incarcerated right now because of no self-control. A lot of our brothers and sisters that's dead and in their grave, a lot of them is because of self-control, you know, didn't have no self-control, you know. So self-control, you know, it's a key. It's a very important key in your life. And if you don't practice it, and if you don't have no kind of self-control, you're just out of control. The opposite of self-control is out of control. So there's no two ways about it. If you don't have self-control, you're out of control, you know. So keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind, that if you don't have self-control, you are out of control. There's no two ways about it. If no one else have anything else, we're going to close the mics, and we're going to go into prayer, and we're going to close out with a song, and we'll continue next week with something else, whatever the Lord has in store for us. Amen. Amen. Willie, you can close all the mics right now for me. Amen. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We bless you. We magnify you, and we exalt you. And Lord, you are truly worthy to be praised. And Lord, we thank you for this time and this opportunity that we can open your word up, and we can allow the word of God to minister unto our soul and minister unto our hearts and our minds tonight. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the word that came forth about self-control. We thank you, Father God, that we know tonight that our thoughts are not deeds. And Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the ability to have self-control. And we thank you that you will continue to increase our self-control walk with you, Father God, on a daily basis. Father God, we thank you for the greatest gift that you have ever given any mankind, and that was the gift of salvation. So we thank you, Father God, for our salvation tonight. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your amazing grace. We thank you for just waking us up this morning, giving us another day of life, health, and strength. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing behind the scenes. We thank you, Father God, for life and life more abundantly. Father, we ask you to forgive us for any sins or any shortcomings that we may have said, done, even thought of this day or any day in the past. We ask you to continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for your name's sake. Father God, we lift up the family of Alvin Pickens and Father God and Edward Campbell, Father God, and we lift up Robert Pope, Father God, who lost his wife, Father God. We pray for these families right now in Jesus' name that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding, that the joy of the Lord will continue to be their strength. Father God, we pray that no weapon formed against these families shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment shall be condemned. And Father God, we know that you are a God of comfort, Father God. So, Father God, I ask you to wipe their tears of sorrow and give them tears of joy, that they will continue to hold on all the great memories of their loved ones, Father God, in Jesus' name. The memories that Alvin left behind, the memories that Edward left behind, and the memories that Robert's wife left behind, Father God, that they will hold on to those memories, Father God, that they will continue, Father God, to trust in you in the midst of this situation of losing a loved one, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, we just pray for this country. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to do a new thing in this country, in the earth realm, Father God. Father God, we got a new president that's going to be taking the Oval Office, Father God. We pray for him. We pray for his salvation. We pray for his family. We pray for all the people that he's that's on his team, Father God. And we just pray, Father God, that you will speak to their hearts, soften their hearts, Father God. But most of all, we pray for their salvation, Father. We pray that they will come into a love relationship with Jesus Christ, not just in thought, but in deed, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray that no weapon formed against this country shall prosper, tongue and rise up against it, and judgment shall be condemned. Lord, we counsel all the backlash and retaliation from the north, south, east, and west. And we just override and we overrule all the plans, plots, schemes, and devices of the evil one this day in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for all our leaders, Father God. We pray for our military, our policemen, our government, Father God. We pray for the Senate, the Congress, Father God, all our judges and prosecutors, Father God. We pray, Father God, for all the leaders that's in this country, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for all our children, Father God, that you will continue to watch and camp your angels of protection over them. We pray for every marriage that's represented in this country, Father God. We pray, Father God, for every sinner, Father God, that they will come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father God, that they will turn from their wicked ways, Father God, and they will humble themselves and pray and seek your face, that you will hear from heaven and you will forgive them of their sins and heal the land, Father God, because this land needs to be healed, Father. So we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for Willie Watson. We thank you for what you're doing in his life. We ask you to continue to strengthen him in his walk with you, continue to strengthen him in his health, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to give him a mindset of Christ, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to minister unto his heart and let him know how powerful he really is in the earth realm and how you have blessed him with all those gifts for your kingdom. So, Father God, we thank you for our brother Willie. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing behind the scenes in his life in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for Damian Watkins, Father God, our brother Keith, Father God. We bind the pain that's going through his body on a daily basis, that you would heal him from every pain and ache in the name of Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against his body should prosper, that every tongue that rises up against him in judgment should be condemned. We thank you, Father God, that you are a healer, that you said in your word that you took all his infirmities and you bore his sickness, and by your stripes he's already healed. So, Father God, we bind all the pain, we bind all the discomfort, Father God, right now in Jesus' name, that no weapon formed against Brother Damian should prosper, and every tongue that rises up against him in judgment should be condemned. Father God, we lift up every brother on the morning show, Father God, that they will enter, the ones that don't have a love relationship, that they will enter a love relationship with you, Father God. We pray that they will represent the kingdom of God here in the earth, Father God. We pray for their families, their wives, their children, Father God, their family, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless them, brothers, in a special way. You will continue to order their steps, Father God, keep them safe. In the name of Jesus Christ, watch over their children, Father God, and their spouses, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Sister Emily, for starting school, Father God, tomorrow, Father God, as you will continue to minister unto her. You will continue to allow her light to shine even through the school system, Father God, that men and women on campus may ask that question, what must I do to be saved, Father God? So continue to allow her to live by an example and let her light shine in this dark world, Father God, that she will continue to be a limited example, Father God, even behind the scenes, Father God, because someone's always watching, Father God. So, Father God, we pray for her safety. We pray that you will bring all things to her remembrance. We ask you to continue to keep her focused throughout the school year, Father God. Father God, we ask you to give her favor with the professors, Father God. Give her favor financially, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for her, Father God. We thank you for her mom and her dad and her siblings, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes. And, Father God, I thank you for my family and my wife and children that you will continue to watch over us, continue to make a way out of no way, Father God, continue to order our steps, Father God. Father God, I give you all honor and glory. I pray for my mom and my sister, my nephew, all my family members that you will continue to look upon them tonight. You will continue to strengthen them in every area that they need to be strengthened in, Father God. Continue to allow them to have the self-control that you desire them to have. Continue to meet their needs. Continue to watch over and protect them, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to comfort my brother Charles, Father God, and losing some good friends, Father God. He had lost on his job, that you will comfort him and give him peace. Watch over his family, his children and grandchildren in the name of Jesus Christ. Give him strength, Father God. We pray for every listener that's listening tonight, Father God, that you will continue to bless us all, Father God. And, Father God, until we meet again next week, Father God, that we will glorify your name, even in the earth realm, that we will not be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you and we praise you, Father, for all you have done, all you're doing, and all you're going to continue to do in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. And everyone say amen and amen. Amen. It's on you, Willie. For picking us up and turning us around,
yes,
and placing our feet,
yes,
on solid ground. We thank you that we are,
amen,
still in the race. We thank you that we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, that we are the oak tree, Father God. No matter what the storm may throw at us, no matter where the wind may blow, from the east to the south, to the north, to the west,
yes,
we will continue to be rooted,
mm-hmm,
and grounded in,
hallelujah,
Jesus' name, who is the author,
Jesus,
and the finisher,
hallelujah,
of our faith.
Yes.
Bless you, Lord, and we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let everyone say amen.
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 Next week,
amen,
we bless.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.